Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back. We're joined, as we have the high privilege of being each week, by Gordon Chang, one of the country's preeminent authorities on matters involving Asia, from which he has recently returned. He is a columnist for Forbes.com and blogs at World Affairs Journal and regularly contributes now to The Daily Beast. He is also the author of The Coming Collapse of China and Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World. Gordon, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Well, you've written the book on North Korea taking on the world, and I want to give you the first crack at commenting on the news peg of the day, which is that the latest of North Korea's missile launches has failed, I think, the fourth of this particular system. What are we to make of the difficulties that the North Koreans are having with their missiles, and is there any prospect that somehow this will translate into relief from the threat that it's increasingly posing to us and others?
I'm very surprised that the Musudan missile has failed four times, because this is something that should have worked. I think part of it is because Kim Jong-un has probably imposed some political deadlines for tests, and scientists were just in no position to tell him, no, that's the nature of the North Korean system. But nonetheless, the North Koreans make progress even if there are failures. Matter of fact, they probably make more progress when there are failures because they learn about their systems. So these are our missiles which eventually they will get to work right. And when they do, this particular one will be able to reach Guam and American forces there. And they also have long-range missiles we know that do work, and those longer-range ones can actually hit the west coast of the United States. So there's no relief in sight for us.
That is what I was afraid you were going to say, and I think you're absolutely right about it, of course, Gordon. The Japanese were on a fairly high state of alert as a result of the possibility that one of these things might be headed their way. Gordon, this is against the backdrop of the G7 meeting that was taking place in Japan, President Obama's much ballyhooed visit to Hiroshima, which we'll talk about in a moment. But given the growing threat to not just us, but to our friends in the region, did this feature prominently, this danger from North Korea, in the G7 meeting?
Yeah, the G7 did talk about geopolitical issues, but especially when it came to China and the South China Sea, because there's growing concern that with the UN arbitral decision expected in weeks, that the Chinese will try to do something in the South China Sea to change the conversation. And that very well may be starting to reclaim Scarborough Shoal, which would be a game changer. That would be a real inflection point. And so the G7 talked about these issues, much to the consternation of Beijing, which threatened the G7 because Beijing said that they should not discuss issues relating to China's territorial ambitions. The big issue of the G7, though, really was discord on currency and economic coordination. There is a lot of discord between the United States and Japan on some of these issues, especially because the Japanese are weakening their currency. And at the same time, by the way, the Chinese are setting their currency lower as well. So this is going to be an issue that is just not going to go away, even though there was no agreement at the G7.
Gordon, let me turn to another matter that has prompted some discord and may even between us, I'm not sure, but always in a harmonious way, of course. Namely, the president's visit to Hiroshima and the remarks that he made there on the eve of Memorial Day weekend in this country. What did you make of them?
Yeah, there's so much to unpack from this. I think the most important thing is something that we Americans tend to overlook, and that is the president, by merely showing up and by making a few remarks, did actually win a lot of acceptance from the Japanese. And the reason is that the Japanese do feel threatened by not only the North Koreans, but by the sponsors of the North Koreans, the Chinese. And so, therefore, the president going to Hiroshima, I think, actually was important in the sense that it showed that the United States was standing with the Japanese people. He is now wildly popular in Japan. And also, I think that he got a certain amount of acceptance elsewhere in the region. So there's a lot that one can criticize the president for on this visit, but I think the most important thing is that he did show the flag, so to speak, and that that was well received in the region, especially in Japan.
Let's, as you say, unpack that. He may have shown the flag in the sense that he was present, as no sitting president has been in Hiroshima. But the message that he was sending, I would think, would not give much comfort to the Japanese. It was the kind of, well, the sort of thing that has really been the making of the sort of lunatic fringe for many years, namely that we're going to rid the world of nuclear weapons and that the United States is going to do its part, among other things, by disarming substantially or allowing, at the very least, the atrophying of its deterrent. I wouldn't think that that would actually give comfort to the Japanese who have long nestled under our nuclear umbrella. What am I missing?
There's a lot there. Whatever one may think about the cause of nuclear disarmament, which goes back, of course, to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which went into force in 1970. Ronald Reagan's advocacy of this cause, which he was passionate about. The problem is how you go about it. And during Obama's tenure, there has been unprecedented proliferation in East Asia and indeed around the world. He has a lot of these agreements that he's signed up, but he has not enforced them. So, for instance, the Russians look like they are going to violate the New START Treaty, which was signed in 2010. They're already violating the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Agreement, that landmark 1987 deal, and that could really unhinge the world. And I talk about this because Russia is an East Asia power, and it does have influence in the region. Of course, the Chinese are building up their nuclear arsenal very fast. And we all know about the North Koreans, which they set off their fourth known test in January of this year. So, as I said, there has been unease in the region that the United States has done very little to stop this very worrying slide to what some people could say would be Armageddon in Asia.
And Gordon, I just have to qualify one point. I had the privilege of working for President Reagan on nuclear forces policy and remember vividly that while he had an aspiration to get to a place where the world was so safe that we needn't have nuclear weapons, and for that matter, we wouldn't need the kind of conventional forces that we would otherwise have either. But he knew we were a long way from that. And he undertook on his watch the modernization of our arsenal that has basically been essential to keeping us secure all this time, ever since. So I wonder whether, again, the takeaway here is going to be, in the end, when those threats from the North Koreans, those threats from the Chinese, those threats from the Russians, and the proliferation of these weapons elsewhere continues to metastasize, that this president's legacy will be one that either the Japanese or the Americans, for that matter, will find all that laudable.
Yeah, well, at this point, clearly, as you say, the president's record in Asia with regard to nuclear proliferation is really unenviable, because there has been this spread, and there's been very little of American and other pushback to this. So this is really going to be the legacy. As I said, whatever one thinks about the ultimate goal, the president has not been able to put in place those policies that have been able to make the world safer. And when we look under Reagan, this whole concept of strength is something that eventually led to the failure of the Soviet Union. We've seen nothing like that in Obama's term, and that really is, I think, the crime. As we go forward, it's going to be really important for the region to have faith in the United States. Otherwise, we will have that situation where countries like South Korea, Japan, even Taiwan will develop their own nuclear deterrent because they feel the United States would be unreliable. So this is something where the region has become so much more dangerous in the last 7.5 years.
Keep up the good work, my friend, at The Daily Beast and Forbes.com and WorldAffairsJournal.com and Fox News. And, of course, in our regular visits here, we'll talk with you next week. Next up, we'll talk with Mike Norris, the director of Amerageddon, a pop culture wake-up call on the threat of electromagnetic pulse. That and more straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.